Jackson, it's Jeff the Chrysler, and you're listening to another episode of Cheater and the Rude. I am joined in spirit and possibly in voice soon by Lee Papa, the author of the Rude Pundit blog. That's under Rude Pundit something, 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 and he's got a book, and I wrote a book, and I also have that show that was just a promo for the final edition, which is awesome. Stick around at 8:30, we have a sweet show. You know, I'm coming to you live from the streets of Manhattan, New York City, where there is a riot in progress in the hearts of every human being. Yeah, it's a riot pitting the forces of satisfaction and complacency against the spirit of wonder and adventure. Also a bunch of general douchebags walking around. But listen, that's not why we're here tonight. We're here to talk about important things. And really, what's important? It's what's important to me, what's important to you, and what's important to the world, what's important to you, is what's important to everyone. What's important to one, two, three, four, five people. I was about to do a sort of a child's book. I guess you would call them children. If it was a child's plural. Here's the thing. There's a lot going on in politics. A lot going on in social causes. There's immigration. There's gay marriage. There are debates about guns. There's maneuvers. And I work on a TV show. It's an hour every night. We cover this stuff tooth and nail. I don't think that's actually an expression, but that's, you know, you get my point. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of reporting about how idiots continue to flex tiny little muscles in a way that prevents common sense from moving forward. You know, the strength of those that struggle to pull us backwards in time and progress, it confounds me. It impresses me. I'll be honest with you. I wish that those forces of progress that I agree with could have the discipline and the organization and the financial backing to those on the other side. I mean, the guns are there, the most recent issue. Guns, you know, there was a big hubbub because a couple of senators decided to make a deal where we might have background checks. Yay! Of course it's getting scuttled. And then there was a, hey, everybody, we're not getting filibustered. You know that maneuver that they designed back in the day for extraordinary circumstances and views and disproportionate amount of time. You know, we're going to actually discuss guns. This is hailed as a tremendous accomplishment. The height of democracy that we might have a discussion about something that kills millions of people. Anyway, maybe it's thousands of people a year. But you know what? We turned the world upside down because of 3,000 deaths. What was that now? 11 and a half years ago. Thousands of people died. I wish I had the numbers in front of me. We cover this on our show all the time. But there's been something like 100 and X times the number of deaths at Newton, or Newtown, since Newtown. That's how many gun deaths there have been. Another hour and a half in mass shootings, but, you know, the fact that we took extraordinary measures to finally get to a point where we can talk about this threat to national security, it's just, I don't want to say I'm giving up, but it's just like, come on. Like, isn't that sort of the strategy of the right, is to be so extraordinarily and overwhelmingly ridiculous that you just eventually get swept up in it. My friend Barry Weintraub used to call it a tsunami of suris. I believe suris is a Yiddish word for crap, and tsunami is a Japanese word for insert voices, words, talking about radioactive stuff. And it was just relentless. And he, Barry, referred to it back in the third picture when you just couldn't keep track of all the ethics violations and anti-democratic moves, but it still goes for all the absurd, we need women, mandatory pregnancies, produced by guns and for a second I said I was going to have a sing-off with a guy walking down the street, but that ain't that America, you and me. So we got a gun debate, of course, after clearing the hurdle of opening debate through a cloture vote. Now that Republicans are slowing down every possible amendment, they're proposing amendments just so they can slow it down for 5 days each. What can we, it's so frustrating to me that this stupidity on the really anti-patriotic, that's the word I'll use for it, the anti-patriotic maneuvers, the maneuvers that put people's families in harm's way, are just going to get washed underneath I'm going to brush underneath the carpet, swept, wash underneath the bridge. You know what? Here's the thing. This show, Chief and Wood, we want audience engagement. We want you to make up your own metaphors and similes and common expressions. In fact, there's a call-in number. Go to the website, which is on the air right now, and if you want to call in, do so. And the most talented engineer working in radio today, Giselle, will patch you in, and we'll have a discussion about what the word is I'm looking for when you talk about swept under the idioms. It's probably idioms. I'm terribly distracted. The point is, the fact that the voices and ideas on the right, particularly in this gun debate, have been so successful in putting the screeching brakes on any sort of progress. But here's the thing. When in LA, I said this months ago, one of the most effective and brilliant spokesmen for industry ever. I don't like him. I don't think there's any doubt of that. But he's made the debate not how can we improve things, but how can we not make them worse. The debate is about guns for every chalkboard. When you bang them out the erasers and the whole new, he's made the debate about crazy things. So that if we somehow manage to squeak it back to the status quo, or we somehow get it back to the assault weapons ban we had for 10 years, that'll seem like a victory. No! That assault weapons ban was a compromise. Like, where we were was not a victory. I mean, excuse me. This isn't going to prevent that. This isn't, these laws won't prevent another. It's bullshit. They'll say in bland, moral speaking terms, we disapprove. Did Brown versus Board of Education make racism disappear? No. But it was a stamp, a seal of approval from the highest authority in our land that this is what we believe is right. And frankly, if we live in a land that cannot say we believe the ability for anyone to immediately get weapons of mass destruction is wrong, well, I don't know. It started with an if statement, and I want to say, well, then screw everybody. But that's it. I just, you get to a certain point in life where you want to keep fighting and screaming, or do you give up? And again, that is the strategy. Be so terrible that eventually people just keep on fighting. You can't fight everything. You can't plug every hole in the dike. When there is a wave of crap pouring over you, you're just going to protect your face. You can't push the wave back and tell the wave to fuck off. And I guess I'm as naive to wonder, excuse me, when it became like this. No, that's not even a wonder. Has it always been like this? Has a party always been so strictly bound by their campaign donation and by their fringe elements, by the loudest voices supporting them, that they are willing to scuttle the slightest compromise to move the country forward?
The slightest compromise?
Oh, my God, everybody. It's that moment you've been waiting for. It's when my internal dialogue, questioning every word I'm saying, comes to life and presents itself in the shape of Lee Papa. I want everyone to play me. Lee Papa, the rule, pundit. Ba-ba-ba.
Oh, wow. I was hoping you'd have the Godzilla sound effect ready.
Giselle, get the Godzilla sound effect ready. It's been a while since we've used the Godzilla sound effect.
It is. I thought it was our signature.
No, our signature is actually just linked to my PayPal account.
So what are you talking about?
I was talking about the fact that I kind of am over all the relentless idiocy, whether it's, I was using the example of how we finally got closure to actually discuss guns and saw it as a triumph, and now the Republicans are dragging out all the amendments or all the anti-women legislation. How is it really just a strategy of that to be so terrible that you can't plug every hole in the dike and just eventually everyone just gives up, just overwhelm you with terrible things and you give up?
I understand, yeah, because I heard today that they were going to try to have to try a procedure where they would have to take 4 days to consider every amendment.
You know, I can remember when Thomas Jefferson said very wisely, "Hey, fuck this place. I don't care what happens." Do you remember that?
I do. I remember that. I remember the fuck these guys thing from Jefferson. I believe it was one of his letters to the governor of Virginia.
Yes, he wrote it in the something Sally Hemings.
Look. Yes. So, I was thinking yesterday that remember how we used to govern? Remember that? Remember how it used to be that, you know, a party was elected and that they got things passed, and that the president, for instance, might want as a way of saying, okay, we'll let that party fall or rise on its merits. On
you mean like
on
2000
the,
on, to 2008.
No, not even. Yeah, well, I guess so. I guess you know, in Bush's term in office, you know, being the most recent example, it's like, okay, we'll do all the shit he wants, and then we'll see what the argument is. Yeah, you're right. So 2008 was the answer to that.
Hey.
And now, essentially, what we're having, what will become is de facto push for a one-party government, that's the only way anything can get done. Because what reason do Democrats have, if they're in the minority and there's a Republican president, to not be, you know, dickbags about filibustering, too?
It is the tyranny of the minority. Ironically, you know, there were safeguards put into the Constitution to prevent sort of the tyranny of the majority, and yet it's turned into the exact opposite. I mean, the fact that the president, maybe he's wise in laying some sort of trap that General Akbar is going to fly into, but then he proposed a budget that is so concessionary to people that do not concede a thing, just shows the extent to which the tyranny of the minority has become something you have to deal with. I mean,
and speaking of tyranny of the minority, don't get me started on the Jews.
What?
So, by the way, just for our geek fans out there, he did mean Admiral Akbar.
Oh, yeah, dude, I knew it was wrong.
But I just need to make sure that the geeks listening understand that we know their ways.
Yes. Here's what's important for the geeks also to recognize. I'm here. I'm on my phone. I'm also walking around New York City. There's a lot of distractions. So what I really was doing when I said General Akbar is I was throwing the heathens off the scent. I didn't want them to know that I knew the secret of the amulet. There's no amulet, is there?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But you know what? Party on, brother. Party on.
Thank you.
So,
what's been on your mind besides?
I was thinking the one thing that has been on my mind is I actually look forward to 2014 for the first time. I look forward to it being an election about gays and guns.
Yeah,
because
no longer
the Republicans used to own that and make elections about that, and now the opinion on that is kind of switched in the general public.
Yeah, well, that's what's amazing to me is, you know, I talk about marriage equality and, like, the rate of change has been so incredible. you think about, was it 2004, that was the wedge issue that they used to bring out the evangelicals and to get Bush reelected. That's putting that on the ballot in all these states. And now if they did that, it wouldn't, just 8 years later, it wouldn't have nearly the effect.
Yes.
So I guess, we fall back to that thing we were talking about last time, was getting up the guns.
That's right. Oh, let's not. You know what? We could have done a rerun tonight, but we didn't. So let's not. Believe me. They'll be hearing the gays and guns thing soon enough on this show.
What's important to realize is that part of why the progressives have been so unsuccessful in general is also part of why we run this show so frequently, which is that we're just not willing to hear ourselves talk. There's something in here, Lee. My point is, our Republicans doing this show would be so proud of themselves that they could repeat bullshit, that they would just keep doing the same thing. Whereas we wait until we have something. I think you see what I'm trying to say.
I'll say yes. Just because I fear what happens if I say no.
Then I try to explain it more. I'm now walking past the New York Library, where there is a riot going on. People inside are learning.
What do you mean there's a riot going on?
I don't know. I thought that'd be sensational. There's no riot. But
I thought you were actually, reporting some news there.
No, that would have been kind of cool, but...
Yes. It would be about time for the barbarians to come and burn our library.
Yes. Not your book. Although this New York Public Library on 42nd isn't really it's more of a museum than it is a library.
No, they have books.
Well, they do have books, but
no
one reads
they have
them.
A lot of books.
But no one reads them.
I've been to that library and done research in their books.
No. No, you haven't. How do I know that you even exist? You're a lie of the liberal media.
Yes, I am. I am the liberal media's perfect creation.
Oh, speaking of liberal media, can I tell you why I had a few beers tonight? It's because I found out, as readers of this column know, but that's not what we're doing. And,
that's proving that he actually did have a few beers tonight. He used to be against FCC rules to go on the air, having, saying that you're drinking. Or I guess, you can't drink on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would suggest that even beginning a conversation about how FCC rules might apply to whatever it is that we're doing is a waste of our time.
Yeah, fuck them.
So Al Jazeera bought Current, which is where I was working. You know, why can there never be a left-wing media? This is a good story of incompetence. Apparently now all of the shows, the launch date was going to be July 2nd. Everything's pushed back. All the shows are going to run until the middle of August. Because
really?
it's a fucking clown show there. And you know it's going to be Thomas today, suddenly. I still haven't actually heard from my boss because... But they're going to tell us now August, and then in a couple of weeks they'll change it to back to May, and then they're just going to...
Well, I guess when you're the owner of the harem, you can decide what you want to do with that harem and when.
Exactly.
Congratulations. You are now a concubine to the sheikhs of Qatar.
Yeah, I know. But what's important is that I've been looking for other guys to blow for money.
Oh, good. You know what? I think that the sheikhs will appreciate your training.
Well, they should. I have been working hard for the money. Ow.
Wow. You know what's funny? We this is supposed to be a political show. We're supposed to be talking, all kinds of political shit.
Was this not political? I'm talking about labor. I'm talking about workers' rights. I'm talking about the country of Qatar. I'm talking about the fact that, there's no progressive voice out there. They call Rachel Maddow the progressive voice. She's fine, but...
Well, she is. I mean,
but there's
A's,
no...
Chris
there's
A's.
One. There's two.
And then that just just awful Melissa Harris Perry show. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you're allowed to say, what are they going to do, take away this unpaid show that 70 people listen to once every couple of months?
Wow. Giselle, Jeff is in prime self-loathing right now.
Oh, I'm not self-loathing. I'm just calling a spade a spade in an internet radio kind of show. I would just like to say
that of all the times to use that phrase...
It's not on a political show?
No, it's probably not right after I mentioned a show I don't like.
Oh. True, I didn't realize that you were racist. Now look, the point is, I actually think that this show might have a greater reach than we realize. Not only do we have our dedicated fans who comment all the time on our Twitter and Facebook, Jeff Fraser, Ruth Punnett, and et cetera, but I tell you this thing. So last time we were together, I told this story about how I met Audrey Bertone, the porn star, on an airplane, and I told her I was a fan of her work, and I sent you the picture that yesterday... Audrey Bertone, or some porn bot by that name, said he's following me. Well, how do I tweet? Oh, there's a story on my show about Audrey Bertone. That would make sense. But I never said it. I mean, I never wrote it. It was only said. So obviously, robots, they're porn stars, are listening to our show. And I think that's a start because they are the future.
Sex okay, I have to admit something here, Jeff.
What?
That's me.
You're Audrey Bertone, the porn bot?
Yes, I am.
Well, I've met you, Lee, and I would pity fuck you, so we're even. I wish it was 8:28 right now.
I'm just going to laugh for the next 6 minutes.
That'll make up for the rest of my life.
No, it's not me. You know what? She actually has a porn crush on you.
No, I think it's a porn bot. It's like, trust me, I wanted to see what if it was verified or whatever. But still, how did she find, like, how
I'm not
how
verified.
You don't need to be verified yet, Lee. When it's time for you to be verified, you'll know. Like, you don't ask to be verified. Like,
I know, you can't ask. You have to wait until they deem you worthy of verification.
Really? Is that how it goes down?
Yeah, it really is. In fact, you didn't hear this week? The parents of the guy that created Twitter?
Yeah?
Can't get verified.
Well, that's symbolic of everything right there.
And how is it symbolic? And explain the symbolism for me.
Okay, I'm going to break this down. Our relations with our virtual friends have supplanted even our relations with those who gave us life, because we feel that we can verify those who interact with us only through electrodes, or whatever the word is, it starts like that, as opposed to those who passed us through the vaginal canal. And to me, that represents the fraying of the community connection and the fact that so many bus rides and subway experiences are now bent, hunched over glowing screens, as opposed to looking at each other and turning away and wondering if that man or woman might someday touch you in a place that doesn't smell like you. I mean, this is what builds community, and we no longer have that, and that is why...
Giselle,
sunlight.
Never rerun this episode.
I'm playing this again right after.
Yeah, this is on repeat all night.
What'd you say, Giselle?
This show's going on as soon as we start Best Of's tonight. This show will never die.
Yeah, that is the point. The verified Twitter people will never die. However, your parents, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's not stopping, Giselle. He's not stopping.
Stopping. I believe none of us really ever start or stop. Do you really?
Are you at the PATH station yet?
No, I'm in Bryan Park by the library where I spend many hours of quote-unquote writing my book.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, this is actually where I wrote the book. By the library. Now I'm cold and homeless.
Well, that's really great of you.
Man, yes, wasn't spring nice? Wasn't spring in New York City nice for those 2 days, and now we're going to... just sleep in the summer. I'm just saying, I haven't made the political connection yet, but I will if we have enough time. No, I hate dating a human.
I'm going to jump a topic here.
Okay, jump a topic.
So what did you think of Obama's budget speech and budget thing? Did you get all upset about the Social Security thing?
No, because as I was talking about before you joined, I'm a little checked out and just pressured. I wonder if it's someone, a little Jedi move of his somehow to get Republicans to oppose even what they support. But even if it is, so what? Like, what's that going to matter in the long run? It was the type he proposed what I think would have been an acceptable compromise after negotiations, but he proposed it as a starting point. So as all lefties, I'm frustrated because I think that the people on the right will never compromise on anything. But I don't know. What about you?
You know what you do? You say, and maybe a couple of minutes too early, Giselle, perhaps it's time that one says, you've been listening to Gino the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa.
Hold on a second, Lee, but keep playing the music. It's fine, but you're going to give me that thing and then just cop out? Well, everybody go to Lee's blog, www.brightfire.com, and see what he has to say about the budget. I'm Jeff Chrysler, at Jeff Chrysler on Twitter.
I'm the Rude Pundit at Rude Pundit on Twitter.
Find us on Facebook too by searching LeeStranahan.com.
We'll be back another week.
Good night, everybody. Yeah.